Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the book of Ezra. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Letter of Artaxerxes, as we pick up in Ezra, chapter 7, verse 24. And now, with today's lesson, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Also, we certify to you that touching any of the priests and Levites, the singers, the porters, the Nethinims, or the ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose a toll or a tax or a custom upon them. In other words, the ministers were exempted from the taxes. Not a bad idea. And he addresses now Ezra, and you, Ezra, after the wisdom of your God that is in your hand, you set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God, and teach them that know them not. So Ezra was commissioned to set up judges, to set up magistrates, those that knew the law of God. And those that didn't know the law of God, Ezra was commanded to teach them the law of the Lord. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God, the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, to banishment, or to the confiscation of his goods, or to imprisonment. So he gave a lot of authority to Ezra. The authority of government, the authority to impose the law of God upon the people with the penalty of death, banishment, imprisonment, whatever, the confiscation of their goods. So with this decree, Ezra thanked the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel the chief men to go up with me. So we have the decree. We have in the chapter 7 sort of a synopsis. Already he's told us that it took him 4 months to make the journey. He has the decree and the authority of the Persian Empire. But now we go back and we get some of the details as they begin to make this journey, as they make the preparation for this journey. Now, these are the chief of the fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. Basically, there are 12 major families, probably representing the 12 tribes of Israel. There is approximately 1,500 men. I think if you count them here, it's about 1,496. Plus, those of the Levites, which were not numbered, plus the wives and the children. They are not numbered, but men. About 1,500 men, plus or minus, that went with Ezra, with their families, back to Jerusalem in this migration of people across this wilderness area. And that saves us reading all of the names from verse 2 to verse 14. That gives you what is said in those verses, basically, without all the names attached. And so they journeyed from Babylon for 9 days, and they came to the river that runneth to Ahava. That is, this little stream that runs on into the Euphrates River. And there they set up their tents. It was sort of a place for the staging of this journey. Getting everything together, checking all the supplies, going down the inventory. Do we have everything here? And making sure everything was in order to begin this trek across the wilderness area. So he gathered them together at the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in the tents for 3 days. So they arrived there on the 9th day out of Babylon. They remained there for 3 days, and I viewed the people and the priest, and I found that there were none of the sons of Levi. And so I sent for Eliezer, and for Ariel, and Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and all of these other guys. And I sent them with a commandment unto Idu, the chief of the place of Cassiphia. And I told them what they should say to Idu and to his brethren, the Nethinims, in the place of Cassiphia, that they should bring us ministers for the house of our God. We need men who, when we return, can minister in the house of God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah and his sons and his brethren. There were 18 of them. We will hear more about Sherebiah. He became more or less the leader in the priesthood, and we'll have more about him when we get to Nehemiah. And Hashabiah, and with him these other guys. Why should I try? And also of the Nethinims. Now, the Nethinims were just the servants in the temple, those that took care of the janitors, so to speak, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims. All of them were expressed by name. All of them were able to give their genealogies. And then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all of our substance. So before embarking on this perilous journey across 500 miles of desolate wilderness area, Ezra called for the people to fast and to pray, wait upon God, to receive guidance and direction. This is a practice that is a wise practice and is something that was done also in the New Testament. Knowing the direction that God wants you to go, knowing the thing that God wants you to do, it is not wise to just jump into it, to embark right into it. It's always wise to seek the Lord, to fast and to pray, and wait for sort of step-by-step instructions. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, it says, "And the Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the ministry wherein I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and the Spirit sent them forth." Now, the Spirit had directed Paul and Barnabas already, take these two fellows and let them go into the ministry that I've called them to do. But before they embarked in it, there was that fasting, the prayer, the waiting upon God. I think that we too often just jump into things. Is that where God wants? Boom, let's jump, you know. And we don't wait upon God in fasting and prayer for more specific directions. Here, they knew that God wanted them to return to Jerusalem, but we've got this perilous journey ahead of us. Let's wait upon God. Let's fast and let's pray and really get the mind of God and the anointing of God upon our lives before we begin this journey. For he said, "I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all of those that forsake him. And thus we fasted, and we besought God for this, and he was entreated of us." History tells us that when they were transferring some of the treasury, that they had as many as 20,000 soldiers accompany the treasure to protect it on this route, because there were those marauding gangs, pirate types, who preyed upon the caravans, who would come down and just kill the men, rape the women, steal the goods, and make off with it. And they lived off of the caravans. That route was an extremely dangerous route to travel. And thus, Ezra realized that he had a great amount of money. The gold and the silver and the vessels amounted to several millions of dollars. And thus, he was a little concerned, going to be traveling over this dangerous route where all of these marauding gangs hang out. But he's told the king how great God is. God takes care of his people. God is a great power to those who trust in him. And he had been bragging to the king so much about God that now he was ashamed to ask the king to send some soldiers. You know, there comes that place, I think, in life where we are determined either we're going to trust in the arm of the Lord or we're going to trust in the arm of flesh. You know, I think we all have to come to that. When we were pastoring years ago in Huntington Beach, we had a little lady who attended our church in her 90s. She was hardly as tall as the pulpit here. We called her Mother Berg. Had a tremendous ministry of exhortation to the church. She could get up and just make you want to love the Lord more, make you want to praise the Lord, make you want to pray. I mean, she just had a great gift of exhortation. And she had a big old Cadillac car that she drove around the country in, going to churches just exhorting the body of Christ. That was her ministry. And she was in Texas and ministering in a church there, and a man was touched deeply, a man who owned a large trucking company. And after the service, he came up and he said, "You know, I saw this car that you're driving. And that thing could just break down anytime, anywhere. I mean, that thing's ready to go. So here's my card. And on it is my private home phone number." And he said, "I have the trucking company. I have terminals all over the country. I have mechanics all over the country. And you take my card, and no matter where you are, what time of day or night, if you have a problem with your car, just call me, and I'll see that your car gets towed in and repaired, no matter where you are. You can just call me." And she took the card, looked at it, and smiled, and handed it back. And she said, "For 70 years, I've been trusting the Lord to take care of me, and he has never failed me yet. And though I appreciate so much your offer to me, I hope you're not offended, but I would rather continue to trust in the Lord than trust in you to help me out of a jam." Telling people to trust the Lord, and that was her ministry. Exhorting people that God was on the throne, that was her theme. God is on the throne. God knows. God will take care of you. God is watching over you. That was her theme. Well, being her theme would have been a little inconsistent to take a card that some man has offered that you can trust in me to help you whenever you're in need, you see. That's inconsistent with her message. Now, it would have been inconsistent with Ezra's message to the king for him to say, "Can you give us, you know, a company of soldiers to go with us so that, you know, we can get this treasure safely there?" He'd been telling them how great God was and what God was able to do and all. And so it would have been inconsistent. So he fasted and prayed. And they sought the Lord. And God heard them and brought them safely there. That's the bottom line to the story. You trust in God and God will take care of you. You trust in man and they might fail. Oh, what an important lesson. So Ezra declares how the then separated 12 of the chief of the priest, Sherebiah, and I said this is the guy that we're going to learn more about as time goes on, and Hashabiah and the 10 of their brethren with them. And he weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all of Israel that were there present had offered. He weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver. The fact that he is weighing it to them means that it was probably in bars rather than in coin. 650 talents of silver, silver vessels, 100 talents, and of gold, 100 talents, also 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams, two vessels of fine copper that were as precious as gold. And so he weighs all of this stuff out. They take an inventory. They write it all down, what is being commissioned to these 12 priests to carry back to Jerusalem. And I said unto them, you are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are also holy, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. So watch over it, keep it, until we weigh it before the chief of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem and in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So you guys are responsible for this. When we get to Jerusalem, when we come into the court, we'll have the chief of the priests there and all, and we're going to weigh this stuff again. And so you guys are responsible to watch over it and to bear it safely until we weigh it again before the chief priest in the chambers of the house of the Lord. And so the priest took the money, the Levites, the weight of the silver, the gold, and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of God. And we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month. They began their journey on the first day of the month from Babylon, 9 days to the river, 3 days there at the river as they conscripted some Levites, as they fasted and prayed, and now they head out towards Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such who lay in wait by the way. God's hand was upon our lives. He delivered us from the power of the enemy. Oh, how wonderful it is to have the hand of God upon our lives, delivering us from the enemy. And we came to Jerusalem, and we abode there for 3 days. Now, the fourth day was the silver and gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the priest. And with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with him was Jozabad, the son of Joshua and Noadiah, and the son of Binui and the Levites, and by number and by weight of every one, and the weight was written at that time. So checked off. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of captivity, they offered the burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all of Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 he-goats for the sin offering, and all of this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. So we've arrived. There are the offerings of commitment, consecration, the sin offerings, as with joy they celebrate God's providential care over them during this hazardous journey. And they delivered the king's commissions to the king's lieutenants and to the governors on that side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. So we find the commission and the fulfillment of the commission as they arrive safely according to the good hand of God upon them. There can surely be a interesting spiritual analogy drawn to this whole story. As we make our journey through the enemy's land to the promised land, sustained by the hand of God, according to the good hand of the Lord upon us, we are strengthened for the journey. We are protected in the journey from the enemy. And one day, by the grace of God, we're going to arrive safely home in that heavenly kingdom, where we shall live and dwell with our Lord, world without end, all because of the good hand of the Lord our God upon our lives. How important it is that we seek the Lord. For the hand of the Lord is upon them for good that seek Him. And so how important that we seek God, that His hand might rest upon our lives.
We'll return with more of our study of Ezra in our next lesson as we look at the prayer of Ezra. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you. May His hand be upon your life this week. May you experience the presence, the power, the blessing of God as you seek Him. And may God really challenge our hearts to seek the Lord, His will, His plan, that we might be led of the Lord to accomplish His purpose that He has in mind for us this week. God has a special task for you to do. I pray that you'll discover it, and I pray that you will complete it for His glory.
There is always an ever-present danger for Christians of being beguiled. That word reminds me of Eve. She had everything in the garden. She had fellowship with God. She had her husband all to herself, no competition whatsoever. And yet the serpent came to her.
The Word for Today is pleased to present Kay Smith's newest edition in her Bible study series for women, the Book of Colossians. Come alongside Kay as she exhorts women and teaches what the Bible says about these last days. Women will discover how to discern spiritual deception and comprehend correct biblical doctrine that leads to a renewed eternal perspective.
How grateful we are to you, Father, for how you teach us in your word to beware of the beguilers, how you warn us, how you help us, how you encourage us.
To order a copy for yourself or a friend, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673, or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.